Praise the Lord. And we will continue this afternoon with this topic, walking in the truth. And, you know, I was reading through these three epistles, and what really caught my attention particularly was in 3 John, 2 and 3 John. They both mentioned this. We just read it right now. 3 John verses 3 and 4. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And similarly in 2 John, it also mentions this, yeah, verse 4. "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father." And you know, when I was reading these three epistles, something occurred to me that John, when he wrote these, he was already pretty old and he had seen a lot. And as I was reading through them, I realized that a lot of it is really from his experience and the things that he's seen. And he actually summarized it down and made it very simple for us. And, you know, this matter of walking in the truth is actually very important, because, you know, many of us, we've gone to so many conferences, we've heard messages, we've read so much. Even if we don't know very much, the little bit that we do know, it must be real. It must be lived out. And it cannot be on the surface. You know, we should never do anything just for appearances. You know, sometimes maybe when we're in the meeting, we behave a certain way. And then when we're at home, a different way. When we're with our family or at work, we're a different way. You know, so we're like different people. So what's the real you? What's the real me? You know, and what people really need to see is the truth lived out in us sincerely. And so I looked into the word truth, and the Greek word is aletheia, which means the reality, the substance. So it's not just a matter of the correct teaching and the correct doctrine, but it's the substance lived out, the essence of the word, of the truth lived out in our daily living. Right? So of course you can't have truth if you're basing it on false teachings. Then you can, you know, even if somebody is, you look at him, you know, maybe he seems like a nice person, but everything he's living on is based on wrong teachings, well, that's not truth. Or somebody may have the right teachings, but the living doesn't match the word, then there's no truth either. Right? So obviously, to have the truth, the lived out substance of the word, you need to have the correct truth. So, you know, sometimes when we talk about how we need the tree of life and not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, people misinterpret that and say, well, I don't need any knowledge. I just need the anointing. That's it. I don't need to read the Bible. That's also wrong. Like we said earlier, the anointing will always correspond with the word. Right? And this truth, the reality in our life, the substance of the word lived out, will always correspond with the truth. And the source of it is always the life within us. Right? It's not something manufactured. You can't make yourself do it. Even if, you know, you hear all the things that we talk about in the conference and you try to do it, eventually what's going to happen? You'll just get exhausted and frustrated. It's not working, failing over and over again. And it just, you know, you're going to end up like what Paul described, right? Just realizing that this body of sin can't do it. So the way it has to be done is through the Spirit. So in 1 John chapter 3, let's continue with 1 John and read some verses together. Starting from verse 10, it says, "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Amen. Yeah, just stop there. And what I was amazed by was that he didn't just say whoever does not practice righteousness, but he also mentions, nor is he who does not love his brother. You know, many times we have this idea that I just want to be right, you know, to do the right things, to do what pleases God. And then we treat loving one another as an afterthought. We kind of tolerate holding a grudge against somebody. Oh, I don't like this person so much. I'm annoyed by Emery. Something Emery did really annoyed me. And but you just kind of tolerate it. You know, we think, I'm going to pursue righteousness. I want to do what's right in God's eyes, but I just tolerate not, being annoyed at people, being, just not having love towards one another. But here, he shows us that there are two requirements. It's actually a requirement. It says, as a child of God, we must practice righteousness. It doesn't mean we will immediately, all our living will be righteous, but we need to practice it. Okay, and it says, so the two requirements are that we practice righteousness and we must love our brother. It's not just, an optional thing. We know about righteousness, but we don't. I think what John shows us, what I saw here, is that this matter of loving one another is so important. It's very critical in our Christian life. Now let's continue on. It says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." There it is again. You know, you cannot. Sometimes we think of righteousness and love as two separate things, but if you think about it, if you don't have love, you cannot be righteous. Right? We may think we're practicing righteousness, but if we don't have love, that is not righteousness. And love necessarily involves the practice of righteousness. You can't separate them, right? Because this is really the nature of the Lord himself as well, right? Even if you look at the example of Christ on the earth, how he lived, it was, on one hand, it was righteous, but he also had love. It's not separate. You can't separate them, right? So again, he mentions the importance here of how we must love one another. It's very important. Okay, and then verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another," 12, "not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So here you even see tying in to the works of Cain, which were evil. Right, the opposite of righteousness is evil. And it got to the point where Cain even murdered his brother. And it says here, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." And this verse really stuck out to me. I never thought of this love as being tied to life. So it means that if we truly have this life within us, it necessarily must manifest itself in love. It says here, read it carefully, we know that we have passed from death to life because, it not if we love the brethren, or you might love the brethren, but it's so sure and certain. The evidence that we have passed from death to life is that we love the brethren. So again, this is not just, you know, I'm going to try to be righteous and I've got some grudges against people. One day time will heal. I'll sweep it under the rug. You know, no, it's a matter of life and death. In other words, if we do not love, then we are still abiding in death. It's a very serious matter. It's not just, you know, warm, fuzzy feelings inside. It's a matter of whether we are really abiding in life. And he ties it with Cain because Cain was not abiding in this life, right? And that's why he did not have this life and it caused him to murder. That's how severe it is. Of course, we're not going to go and murder anybody. But the Lord showed us in Matthew chapter 5, if we even hate someone in our heart, it's the equivalent of murdering somebody. Amen. Right? So it shows that this is something deadly. To not have love is actually a deadly thing. Right? And we need to take this matter very seriously. You know, it's a... I wrote in here Roman numeral 3, it's a righteousness and love manifested together in our living are an indicator of whether we abide in life or in death. Again, love is it's a product, it's a fruit of the life that's in you, right? So in our Christian life, we always need to check our condition. And one of the ways you can do that is we look at whether we are really manifesting this love towards one another, right? If we find that in our heart, we're finding that we're, you know, not loving the saints, not loving the people around us, then that is a sign that there's some death in us. Right, so it has to be manifested. You can't make yourself do it. So I wanted to bring you all back because, you know, nowadays this word love is very twisted. Nobody, you know, the world has a very strange idea of what love is, and it pretty much means to tolerate. You know, however you are, I love you. Right? I love everything about you. You can do whatever you want. That's love. If you don't agree, that's not love. But here we need to see. Remember, love is tied in with righteousness. Mm-hmm. And what is righteousness, really? It means whatever is right in the Lord's eyes. It's right in His eyes. So, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read some verses here. This is how Paul defined love. Verse 4. You know, I've read these verses many times, but I still can't do it. You know, it's just, I really need the Lord to help me. And I'm not speaking of this as if I've accomplished this, but I need this very much myself, you know. And please, as we're reading this, don't think, oh yeah, so-and-so needs to listen to this. You know, that's good for that brother. He's not showing enough. Think about ourselves, okay? We always like to have high expectations of love for others. They need to love me, and they're not loving me. But, you know, if you think that so-and-so doesn't show love, you be the example to show them how to love. How about that? So, chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay, just stop there. You know, there's it says here, verse 5. I actually read this in a different translation once. That part where it says, thinks no evil, it also means to keep no record of wrong. And, you know, many times we really like to remember what other people did to us. We keep a long list of what others did. Even from decades ago, we remember. You know, we like to envy. We have a hard time suffering for others. You know, when something unfortunate happens to somebody, sometimes we may even be glad, happy. Oh, I'm glad it didn't happen to me. That person deserves it. Right? There's so many things. It just shows that there's something wrong in our heart. You know. And again, it's an indication that we are not abiding in life. And the other thing is, where does this love come from? How do we do it? You know, you can't make yourself love. You can't make yourself do it. You can try, but you're going to fail. I know. It's not easy. Because there are, naturally speaking, we're all unlovable. There's something wrong with every one of us. You know, and it's not hard for us to get annoyed at somebody, to be impatient with somebody, to envy somebody or whatever. But here I like in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Again, John talks about it. He repeats it several times. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Verse 8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So where do you get this love? It says here in verse 7, love is of God. It comes from Him. It's His nature. That's why it says God is love. So where does that come from? It comes from the new life that's in you, the life of Christ. You know, it's His nature to love. So that's why you go back to that chapter 3, verse 14, where it says it's a product of abiding in love. That means you are living and walking according to this new life, which by nature has love. Right? You know, I was just this morning, I was thinking about this, you know, this matter of the life. And I'm thinking by myself, in my human nature, I just don't have that capability. My love is very flawed. But for the Lord's nature in His life, it's just natural for Him. So when I lack it, I go back to this verse, and it says, love is of God. It comes from Him. That means I need His life. And by abiding in the life, it comes out. It just comes out, right? It's natural. And, I was thinking this morning, I got woken up today by some birds. They were chirping. You know, they can't help it. That's just their nature. You know, when they see the sun come up, they just start chirping really loud. So they can't help it. You tell them to be quiet, they can't, right? They just have to do that. You know, a few years ago, we had some birds make a nest. They made a nest and they laid some eggs and they had babies and everything. And I was just amazed at how I thought, how did the birds learn how to make the nest. Where did they go? Did they go to school to learn that? Like they knew exactly the length of twigs and grass and how to stitch everything together, and they knew how thick to make it, how big to make it, and it was pretty amazing. Like they knew how to do that and how to raise the little birds, how to feed them, you know, as soon as they hatched, they were fed constantly, and how to train them to fly. I thought, wow, how did they know how to do that, right? And I realized that it's just in their nature. It's in the life of the bird to do that. It's the bird life, right? And so in the same way, you know, we don't know. If you ask me to build a nest, I wouldn't know how to do it, right? But if you ask the bird how to do math, he wouldn't know either, right? The Lord, now we see the commandment of the Lord, which is to love one another. It's also something we're incapable of. So that's why we need the new life in us to carry it out. And that's why he connects it to the reason why you don't have, why I don't manifest this love is because I'm not abiding by the life that's in me. Right? So, you know, this is really, I've read this verse so many times, but this phrase, love is of God, really stuck out to me, that it comes from him. Just as righteousness, it's from the Lord, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So all these things that we lack by nature, you cannot produce it. He became it for us. And that's why in Galatians chapter 5, it mentions that when we walk according to the Spirit, the fruit that's produced, you know, fruit is something that's produced by life. You know, you cannot manufacture, you can't go into a lab to make fruit. They can make meat now, but it's not living. You can't make fruit in a lab. You know, it just grows on a tree. So in the same way, this fruit of the Spirit, it's grown by the life that's within us. And the first characteristic of this fruit is love. So where does it come from? It comes from the life that's within us. So this is really amazing to me. And so the point of walking in the truth, it really means, basically it means to abide in this life, to walk according to this life. And then these things, you don't have to try. It's just that by nature, it comes out. You know, maybe you found people difficult to deal with before, you know. But when we walk according to this life, you'll suddenly realize, wow, the people that I found so annoying before, I actually care about them. You know, I used to only care about what I do. I never cared about what happened in the church or with the saints or whatever. But now suddenly I find myself thinking how they're doing, maybe even wanting to give them a call or visit them or pray for them. I suddenly care about this. Where did it come from? You know, nobody told me to do it, but it's just by this growth in life. And I can tell you that when the saints, when we're all growing in this life and the life is manifested in love, it is the most powerful attractor for new ones ever. Really. We can have excellent teachings, you know, lively meetings, you can be jumping in your seats, that kind of lively, but what really attracts people is the life that's manifested as love. So this is a really powerful thing for the church. And I also like, there's a, you know, even this, there's a verse here that I found that I thought I really liked. You know, even living in this love, it tells you in chapter 13, verse 8, Romans chapter 13, verse 8, sorry. Sometimes when we think about all the commandments, we find it very intimidating. There's so much to do, you know, so many commandments. And we realize that it's hard to accomplish. But here in Romans 13, verse 8, the last part, it says, "For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." That's how important it is, right, to love one another, because it really so many things in the law actually can be summarized in this way. And just like the Lord did in Matthew 22 with the two greatest commandments. Okay, now moving to the next Roman numeral 4.1. I want to take a look at, go back to 2nd and 3rd John. Let's look at, for the sake of time, let's just look at 3rd John. Verses 3 and 4, we read it already, but I'll just remind you again. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." This is really wonderful. It shows how much John loved the disciples, you know, the brothers. That just to, you know, sometimes we think what other people do doesn't matter to me. It doesn't help me. You know, that's their business, whatever they're doing. But here it shows that it actually gives him no greater joy, you know, to hear that others are walking in the truth. Does it make you happy when you see that the saints are growing, that they're, you know, they're increasing in the knowledge of the Lord? You know, that's again showing that we have love for one another. If it really brings us so much joy. Right? And you can see, what does it mean that they walk in truth? If you read further, it says here in verse 6, "who have borne witness of your love before the church." Amen. So you can see that their walking in the truth is, the testimony of it is their love before the church. Okay, in verse 8, "therefore we ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth." And then he talks about another brother, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, verse 9, among them, does not receive us. "Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church." That's really terrible. There is absolutely no love there. "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil." He even calls that evil. "But what is good? He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. But Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true." Amen. Yeah, so it's two different brothers. One is really manifesting the life through love, and the other one just wants power. He wants to be the boss and control everything. "You don't agree with me, out you go," you know. He may be acting very righteous, but actually it's unrighteous. It's evil. It's even evil, you know. And such people, it says, they have not seen God. We really have to not let this happen in the church. This does not belong in the church. He wants to have the preeminence in verse 9. So who does he love? Himself. It's himself. He just loves himself. So, very sad. And then I like also 2 John verse 12. Again, it shows the love that John has for the saints. "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink." Today it would probably be Zoom. "I did not wish to do so with Zoom," right? But I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. You know, this is such a normal thing if we are abiding in this life. Because the life in us is drawn to the life in the saints, and the life produces the love for the saints. And you, if you really love the saints, you will want to see them. And when you see them, you're so happy to see them. You know, not like, oh, if I don't see them, it's okay. I don't need them, you know. But here it says that it makes his joy full. This is really shows, again, it's the evidence that John is abiding in the life. He's walking in the life. He's walking in truth. You know, it just makes him so happy. It really is a normal thing, you know. Yeah, so let's see. Now, in also 2 John, verse 10, it says here, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, okay, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. When I was reading this, I was thinking, what is this? Hold on a second. He just said to love the brothers. But here he's saying, do not receive him into your house or greet him. Is he being a hypocrite? I thought he just said to show love, but now he says, don't invite him into your house. Don't even receive him or greet him. Isn't that unloving? What do you think? Is he being loving or not? Many times in our human love, we would just tolerate and accept everything. But here, you can see that John, remember, when the Lord summarized the commandments, the first commandment, the greatest commandment is to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your strength, your mind and your strength, right? And then the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. But many times we reverse the order. We put love your neighbor ahead of love the Lord your God. So we tend to put people ahead, and we don't care, we forget to love what the Lord loves. So here you can see that he was doing this because he is warning the brothers and sisters. In verse 8, if you see here, he says, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things that we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. It's also his love for the church, which is what the Lord loves, and his love for the saints who the Lord paid a price for, that he did not want to see them by letting people come in who would cause them to lose their reward, be deceived and drawn away from the church. So in a way, in fact, what he was doing is showing love. His love for the church and his love for the saints, that he would protect them from these influences. So we really have to change our understanding of what is love. Right, to see things, our love must have the Lord's righteousness. Yeah. So, just one more verse, and then we can close it up. John 16. We talked about the Spirit. John 16. Verse 13. Again, just to show us that the only way is through the Spirit. John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of reality, has come, he will guide you into all truth, or the substance. He will guide you into it. It doesn't mean that he'll only guide you into the correct knowledge, but he'll also guide you and enable you and strengthen you and show you how to live it out in your life. He helps you do it. And that's the amazing part, that the Lord lives in us so that he can make it happen in us, to fully transform us. Right? So, actually, there's one more verse. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It's a good reminder for all of us. It says here, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? I like how it says, examine yourself, test yourself. We should never be ignorant of what our condition is. You know, where am I? Or, you know, what? How am I doing spiritually? We need to check. And one very good way to check is whether we are walking in the truth, whether this love is being manifested in us. You can feel it in your heart. Right? When we interact with brothers and sisters and we notice something creeping in into our heart that's not love, then we know that, okay, some death is creeping into me. I need to take care of it. I need to go back to walking in life. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord.